Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Heidi Moore, filling in for Charlie Herman. And with me today are Joe Nocera of The New York Times and Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine. Today, we're talking about the species of Wall Street investor that used to be known as green mailers, corporate raiders, or even barbarians at the gate. Now they're known as shareholder activists. Most people just buy a stock and hope it goes up in value. But activists take a more aggressive approach. Carl Icahn bought $1 billion worth of Apple shares this week. Another activist, Bill Ackman, resigned from the board of JCPenney in disgrace. Joe, Rana, let's talk about this. First, the question all the CEOs of these companies ask themselves, why me, Lord? Why me? What is it about these companies that attracts activist shareholders?
Well, one reason is that these activists are attracted to companies that are struggling. And that is certainly true of Bill Ackman and JCPenney. JCPenney is a company that has really had problems. And Ackman took a big stake in it and came up with a plan to revive it, which, alas, hasn't worked. But that's one huge incentive, companies that are having problems.
There's another side of this coin, which is that they also target companies that are doing very well, that have a lot of cash in hand, and that's the Apple example, right? You know, David Einhorn, now Carl Icahn, have all wanted this company to pay higher dividends because it's holding so much cash. It's got about $150 billion of cash in hand. That's like a 7% of all of corporate America's liquid assets. So they want this company to give back that money. The question is, are the corporate raiders or the activists, however you want to call them, are they the better recipients of this money than the company is? Will they do better things with it, and will they do better things for the company than the management could itself?
And that's a good question, considering some of their tactics. I mean, let's talk about Ackman. His boardroom manner is like shock and awe. He makes these huge bets, and he takes these internal company debates, makes them public, and then turns them into these nasty fights. What do we think about that strategy?
Well, for Ackman, it used to be successful, but lately it hasn't been very. You know, he actually made his reputation going after a company, not investing in it, but shorting a company, betting against a company called MBIA, which was a bond insurer. And this was prior to the financial crisis. It was a very, very smart bet. But he's made other bets that haven't been so good. He bet on Target, and that wasn't good. And the JCPenney thing has been an absolute disaster. Ackman not only got on the board, but he basically hired a new CEO from Apple, the man who was the head of retail, and then they had to fire this guy because he lost all the old customers and didn't get any new customers. Then he gets in a spat with the board and winds up resigning from the board. So, you know, boards don't like the tactic. Companies don't like the tactic. Sometimes it's successful. Sometimes it's not.
So, Rana, what's in it for them?
Yeah, it's a great point. But it's worth noting that a lot of really smart activists are the ones that work behind the scenes. I would point to a guy like Ralph Whitworth, for example, who's the interim chairman at HP right now. He's someone who ran an activist hedge fund but has been involved with that company over the long haul, really helping them try and calm the waters there and navigate the nuance of this difficult transformation within the PC business. That kind of long-term involvement is really important, and I think smart CEOs realize that in order to combat activists in the future, they're going to need to really reach out to the longer-term investors and develop relationships behind the scenes. You can see, for example, with the J.P. Morgan debate over splitting the CEO chairmanship recently, Jamie Dimon went and actually spoke to long-term investors. They had those relationships. They won that battle in part because that communication had already been done.
Exactly. But not every CEO has the charisma of a Jamie Dimon. I mean, they're really up against some force from these activist shareholders. I'm thinking of Carl Icahn and his infamous tweets. A couple of tweets from him on Twitter this week sent Apple stock soaring. The company's market value rose by about $20 billion. Is this too much influence? Is this healthy for the companies, the market, the economy?
Oh, my God. You know, I think the last thing we need is people trading on Twitter. I mean, as if we didn't have enough churn and short-termism in the market already.
You know, Apple's in a very strong position. They have a huge, huge amount of cash. But they're a company that, you know, they don't have to bow to the wishes of a shareholder activist because they're Apple. They can basically say, Carl, you know, it was a great idea, but we don't want to do it. We want to preserve our cash. And many tech companies do that. And so I seriously doubt that Apple will wind up bending to Icon.
So are any of these shareholder activists getting into the companies for the long haul, or is it just, you know, get in, get out with your money?
Well, Lucian Bebchuk, who's a pretty well-known economist at Harvard, just came out with a study where he basically says that there is no negative consequence when a shareholder activist comes into a company, and indeed there is a positive consequence long term. I would say a lot of CEOs would disagree with that, but that's what his study shows.
You know, it's interesting, too, because while that's true, it's also true that a lot of companies that are the targets of activist investors don't exist a few years after they've been targeted, which is the flip side of this.
So they're sort of like the angels of death of corporate America.
They can be.
Finally, let's look ahead to next week and the stories you're watching. Rana?
So I'm actually in Chicago, and I'm reporting on a group of new schools that Rahm Emanuel is starting here, and they're copying some schools that have already been started by Mayor Bloomberg in New York. They're basically grade 9 through 14 high schools focused around science and technology, and the idea is that a high school degree doesn't get you a job that pays more than $15 an hour anymore. The associate's degree, a community college degree, is really the new normal, and that we need a reset. We need to kind of reinvent high school in order to train kids for the jobs that are going to be created over the next decades. I think this is a trend that's going to build.
Excellent. Joe?
Well, I'm looking very simply at American Airlines and U.S. Airways. They have long planned on a merger. This week, the Justice Department filed a lawsuit to block the merger, saying it would be anti-competitive. American Airlines is screaming foul, saying that, you know, you let a United merge and you let Delta merge. Why won't you let us merge? This is going to be quite a battle. American and U.S. Air say they're going to fight it. The Justice Department says it will not bend, and we will watch it play out.
That sounds really interesting. We'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast, available on iTunes. Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with The New York Times, thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Heidi Moore, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.